This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, September 27th, 2023. The Memorial of St. Vincent de Paul by Father William Doc Holliday.
The harvest indeed is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore that he send forth laborers into the harvest. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray ye therefore that he send laborers forth into the harvest. When our Lord Jesus Christ gives us the marching orders to pray for something, we need to be attentive to that. But what are we to pray for when it comes to these laborers that he desires to be sent out into the harvest? This is a very familiar passage, but there are things in here that really speak to some deeper aspects of the faith. One is the necessity of the clerical state, the necessity of bishops and priests, first and foremost, in their sacerdotal office. The harvest is great, but laborers are few. Now, if you have sort of a Protestant mindset, it's just all about the harvest. We don't have, you don't have to worry about things like priests and bishops and things like that, the clerical, even in our own church, I get so sick and tired. Oh, clericalism, that's clericalism. Jesus was a clericalist. Jesus called 12 men to be apostles. He didn't call everybody. He had hundreds and hundreds of disciples, but he called 12 men to be the foundation of the apostolic ministry. That's clericalism, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's the establishment of the church. When we look at this prayer, the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. The laborers are few. Who are the laborers? The ones who till, the ones who get out there and they prune and they weed and they do things like that. That is the sacerdotal ministry. It is the priesthood. This is for whom we are supposed to be praying. But how do we pray for them? I'm always, every time we hear about prayer, I say we need to pray for particular things particularly. You just don't throw these net prayers out there, these shotgun prayers. Our Lord said, you receive not because you ask not, or you ask wrongly. There are ways to ask wrongly. And that's what I always refer to them as the Tiny Tim prayers from a Christmas story. It sounds really good for, a 3 or 4 year old. God bless us all, everyone. That's a nice little prayer for a 3 or 4 year old. That is not a correct prayer for a follower of Christ. When you're offering a prayer, God bless us all, everyone. We don't go to church and hear God bless everybody. It would be so easy if we could do that. That's not what we want here. We want to be preparing men for this ministry. We need to be praying. We talk about praying for vocations all the time. What does that mean? What does that mean to pray for vocations? For one thing, that whole phrase, praying for vocations, like, God needs some, like a nudge to call people to, that's what a vocation is, a call. We have a vocations problem. We do not have a vocations problem. We have an answering problem. God is calling as fervently, I would actually submit to you, God is calling a whole lot harder now than he has in the past. Nobody's answering. This is our problem. We don't have a vocations problem. We have an answering problem. Okay, but when we're praying for vocations, we do need to be specific. What are you asking of a man? What are you asking of a man if you're praying for him for a clerical office? Bishop, and again, this is really kind of focused on bishops and their deputies in the priesthood, because deacons are a completely different ballgame. Deacons are indeed clerics, but they were called because in the early church, when temporal considerations started to encroach on the priestly ministry, they said, hey, we need to devote our time to prayer. We need to devote our time to the word. Let's ordain some other men to take care of the temporal concern to the church, and thus we have deacons. So deacons have a temporal ministry to the church. Bishops and their deputies in the priesthood, these are the labors of which our Lord speaks. And their ministry, how do you pray for it? Because they are New Testament priests. They are Christian priests, which means that their priesthood should exactly mirror that of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eddie, what was Jesus Christ's ministry in this world? From his inception, our Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 4, right after our Lord Jesus Christ is baptized, he is taken into the desert to be tempted of the devil. We see him start his earthly ministry. And this is what it says. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and every infirmity, such as were possessed by devils. This is our Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, in a nutshell. He preaches the gospel. He delivers people from demonic possession and obsession and oppression, and he heals diseases. This is for what we are praying for men. They need to be prepared to do those three things. This is Jesus' priesthood. Every bishop and priest on the face of this planet is supposed to emulate that. Preaching, exorcisms, and healing. Now, we hear exorcism, all of a sudden you go that high-end Hollywood stuff and Father Ripberger, and all, I love the guy to death, read his stuff, you know, he's great. You know, but at the end of the day, you know how you keep demons at bay? You maintain a life of grace. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. How do you resist him? Oh, you throw holy water and salt and do deliverance prayers. AI on occasion, but that's not generally how we resist the devil. We resist the devil by going to the Eucharist. We resist the devil by going to regular confession. That's how we resist him, and he will flee from us. He will go to a soft target. In the military, you have hard targets and soft targets. A hard target or one that will target you back. A soft target is a target that you can beat up on and you really don't have to worry about anything. That's the difference between a hard target and a soft target. Satan likes soft targets. And let us just say the church of the world are just chock full of soft targets. People that don't avail themselves of the Eucharist and the confessional as they should. And they're not resisting. He's not going to flee. This is, so generally speaking, you take care of this stuff yourself. But what did I say? How do we resist the Eucharist and the confessional? What do you need to receive the Eucharist and to receive absolution in the confessional? A priest. This is what I mean, the difference between priests and bishops and deacons. Deacons can't absolve you of your sins. Deacons cannot confect the Eucharist. They are not sanctioned to do so. They are not consecrated to do so. This is a sacerdotal ministry, the Eucharist and the confessional. So when you do those two things, that's your resistance right there. So this is what you need to pray for. Men to be doing these things. And when it's necessary, yeah, those full-blown exorcism things, the healing thing, you know, not the dramatic Benny Hinn from back in the day, you know, old blow on people and throw your coat at them and they fall down and look at me, I'm healed. You know, and now there's, oh, I had lower back pain. Now it's gone. Oh, I had a hearing problem and now it's gone. Yeah, okay. You know, you never saw any profoundly disabled people be wheeled up there and get up out of their wheelchair. And go, no, you never saw that. What we're talking about is the same thing, a healing ministry. How are we healed? Through God's intercession, and he uses secondary causes in this world, medicine. So, you know, these things go hand in hand. I think, this is me saying this, on occasion we can get over-spiritual about some aspects. You know, our faith is supernatural enough. It is extraordinary. It is miraculous. But that's not an everyday generality. Our Lord works with us in what you could refer to using the term mundane. It sounds bad to say that about God, but it's mundane. How does he primarily work with his people? Through the Eucharist, through the confessional, your Sunday Mass attendance, and the Masses that you can make in a meritorious way in addition to that. Frequent confession, your rosaries, your reading of the Scriptures, your prayer life. These are the things that will work. They are money. Oh, I wanted to hear something really dramatic. Go home and read your Scriptures. Make sure you go into Mass every Sunday. That will suffice. Again, that's bare minimum stuff. I don't like bare minimums, but they will get you through. It will maintain your life of grace, and you can resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But these men that are in, that are called and consecrated to do these things, this is where we need to focus our prayers. That's what our Lord said. Pray for these men that are called out into the harvest, because there's only a few of them. Pray for whomever, you're a parent. You've got a son. You got a couple. Pray for the possibility of a priestly vocation for that son. He's only 3 years old. Start now. That's the way this works. Start now. Pray for the vocation to marriage also. But pray for both of them. How many people that got a three-year-old child pray for their future husband or wife? You should do that. You should do that. It's a part of your responsibility as a parent is to pray for your children. All right? But pray for those vocations. You want a priest in your family. You want a priest in your family. You would not believe the benefits of that. I have deceased family members whom I pray for every single Mass. Every single Mass they get mentioned. And sometimes I celebrate three Masses a day. That's some good prayer stuff going on right there. Not everybody can offer a Mass for you every day after you might die. This is just the reality of things. It sounds so intimidating, but really for a man to be prepared. And he doesn't, I'll start praying for a vocation for him because he seems so uber pious. Guess what? Our Lord didn't call uber pious people to the apostolic ministry. 1 Corinthians, the first reading for today. 1 Corinthians, see your vocation, brethren, that there are not many wise according to the flesh. He's putting them on notice. He's giving a little dose of humble pie right there. Hey, if you guys will notice, brethren, your vocation to this ministry, there are not many wise among you as far as the flesh goes. You're not the sharpest knives in the drawer. Notice he doesn't say none of you are wise. He said not many. Because even in the early church, we had St. Paul, we had St. Luke, who were very, very sharp, very, very well-learned guys. But most of them were fishermen, tax collectors, people of just ordinary God for a reason. Why? Because God uses the foolish things to confound the wise. I want everybody to know that I am the one doing these things, not you. You are not dazzling people with your rhetorical skills. You are not philosophers who are going to, present people with these tremendous arguments from your intellect. No, you're just going to do what I say, and I'm going to do miracles through you to prove that I am there with you. And to do that, you use the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. Because you can talk the talk as a philosopher or a theologian, but if you're not walking the walk, it's absolutely meaningless. Look at the Pharisees. The Pharisees had Scripture memorized. They knew where's the Messiah? The Messiah is going to come from there because he's this and he's that. They knew everything like that. They talked and talked and talked about things. The apostles did things. The apostles made blind people see. The apostles made crippled people walk. The Pharisees did it. And when the Pharisees saw that, what was their thing? This whole foolish men thing. What was their response? These men are, I like the old English, they're unlettered. Meaning, these guys, they don't have any training. They're being pejorative. These guys are stupid fishermen. And they're confounding us left and right. And they're doing miracles. God never does any of that kind of stuff for us. So talking a good show and being a good theologian is good. Being an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, a disciple, a true follower of his, then that's something very special. This is for whom we should pray. He calls the foolish that no flesh should glory in his sight. From the earliest days of the church, that's the way it's been. St. Peter, in the book of Acts, the first miracle he performs when he makes that crippled man uprise, well, the crippled guy thinks he's going to get the blessing of a piece of silver or some money from Peter. Peter says, silver and gold I have none, but I'll give you what I do have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And what happens? He gets up and walks. How many Pharisees pass this guy every single day? Every single day. And he just sat there begging for townspeople to give him something to keep his belly full. All right? And when I say full, I just mean so he doesn't die. This is what the Pharisees will do for you. But people who are truly disciples of our Lord, something else happens. St. Peter right there, here, let me pray for you, and I'll get God to do a miracle. No, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, arise and walk. St. Paul tries to dazzle him with his intellect when he's in the Areopagus. Oh, you guys are really religious. You have an altar to the unknown God. Here, let me tell you about this God. And he starts philosophizing with all these people around here. And what does he accomplish? A riot. He starts a riot, literally. They got to call the cops to come in and quell everything because he's trying to dazzle them with philosophy. After that happened, St. Paul's like, from henceforth, I will preach Christ and him crucified. I'm not going to try to dazzle anybody with my rhetoric. Okay, I am going to just preach Christ and him crucified. This is the message of power. You start a riot when you philosophize, but when you start preaching Christ and him crucified, you get convert after convert after convert. This is being a true disciple of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's angels of heaven don't play the pride card. They don't play like they're anything. When St. Michael the Archangel, whose feast day is Friday, Latin Mass at noon, commercial, St. Michael the Archangel, one of my favorites, as you can tell, when he is contending with the body of Moses, for the body of Moses, with Satan, you would think, I'm St. Michael the Archangel, Satan, I bind you and I cast you. What does St. Michael say to Satan? The Lord rebuke you. That's all he says. That's all he says. The Lord rebuke you. There is no place for a proud man amongst the priestly ministry. It's got to be someone who just presents what Christ does. As a priest, if you ever hear one, oh, that was great, you do this, and you got to just step back and think how the Holy Spirit works. How the Holy Spirit works, you realize, I always use the example of homilies. Homily, you do a homily. Done homilies before. Yeah, man, this one's awesome. This one's awesome. This got this in it. It's got that. And I'll use this and I'll use that. Okay. Ah, man, this is a good one. And you walk out and people are like, yeah. See ya. Yeah. Have a good day. It's like, man, come on. And there's other way. You get up here and you're like going on and on. And you're like, man, I got to stop this one. This is a dog. It's an absolute dog. I didn't have time to prepare. It says, man, I just got to stop this now. I'm going to cut it short and everything. People walk out there. I get a text and email, Father, you don't know how much I needed that day. I'm like, it's scary. It's like, wow. you got to remove yourself from this equation. That's what you need to pray for these men. Not that they become uber theologians, although that is good, but that they just follow Christ. When people say, oh, this, that, and the other thing, you say, I got the easiest job in the world. I just tell you what the church has always taught. I practice the way the church has always practiced. That's what it's all about. It doesn't have anything to do with me. had to do with what the church has always done and always taught. This is real. There's nothing, you know, it's like being a chef. You know, a steak's a steak, right? You can, you know, sometimes it can be a little bit more rare, sometimes a little more meat, some kind of, you have a little garnish on this, put a little spices on this, but it's still a steak. You come and you preach the gospel. Sometimes you spice it up a little bit, you can do this, anything, but it's still just the gospel. It should just be the gospel. You should not come to Mass and hear a homily on the bishop's appeal. You should not come to Mass and hear a homily or jokes about Father's vacation. You should hear the gospel. And what is the gospel? What are Lord Jesus? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You need to hear about your own sin. You need to hear about repentance and faith in Christ and how you get it. All right, that's it. And you can talk about that kind of stuff for lifetimes, and it won't get old. This is the gospel if you preach Christ and Him crucified. That's how you do it. On today, particularly, wind this up. St. Vincent de Paul. You know, everybody think, here's St. Vincent de Paul's name. What do you immediately think about St. Vincent de Paul? Oh, giving money to the poor, giving clothes to the poor, giving clothes to the... Did you notice in the prayer today? God, thank you for setting aside St. Vincent de Paul for his ministry to the poor and for promoting worthiness among the clergy. Why don't we hear about that part of St. Vincent de Paul's life? That in his life and in his ministry and his congregation, it was all about service to Christ. There is an anecdote for St. Vincent de Paul. Everybody wanted to be part of his congregation because obviously the Holy Spirit blessed it like crazy. So it's got to be something going on. So a lot of people wanted to join. And as the anecdote says, two persons of unusual learning and abilities came and they wanted to be part of the congregation. They had unusual learning and abilities. So these are really smart guys. They presented themselves impeccably. And this was St. Vincent de Paul's response. Your abilities raise you above our low state. Your talents may be of good service in some other place. It doesn't say one thing about these guys coming across as arrogant or anything. It was just like, you guys are, you know, tremendously smart. You're tremendously gifted. But at the end of the day, we try to keep it on the down low around here. And your ministries will be beneficial somewhere else. Because why? And this is why the Holy Spirit blessed. Because he just preached the gospel. He just preached gospel, and you know that whole giving to the poor thing, that's a consequence of a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't talk about giving to the poor too much in homilies. Because I talk about Jesus Christ and your Catholic faith in your life, and if you're doing it right, you will do that. It's just a consequence. I don't get up here and tell you not to beat your spouse either. Okay? You just shouldn't do that. That's bad. Okay? This is the reality of things. You don't talk about things that are a consequence of a proper relationship with Jesus Christ. And you don't have to get all intellectual about it either. As a matter of fact, every now and then you should be really direct about it. This is the gospel. Our Lord was direct. You pray for that he would raise up laborers for the harvest that will continue to be direct for the cause of the gospel. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.